Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will conclude the miracles which Prophet Elisha performed in the Bible. As we have seen so far, Prophet Elisha performed 14 miracles. So let us continue our study today to look at miracle number 15, which we'll read about in 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 7 to 15, which we see one more time. Prophet Elisha is a true prophet, and that is by prophesying, and then we see his prophecy fulfilled. This time we're going to read about the death of Ben-Hadad and the rise of Hazael. And here is the summary of the prophecy of Prophet Elisha. Elisha traveled to Damascus, where Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was seriously ill. When the king heard that Elisha was in town, he sent Hazael, a trusted servant, with gifts to ask Prophet Elisha if he would recover from his illness. Hazael brought a lavish offering of goods loaded on 40 camels and asked Elisha on behalf of the king. Prophet Elisha told Hazael to go back and tell the king he would recover, but then revealed a deeper truth. The king would surely die. Prophet Elisha stared at Hazael intensely and began to weep. When Hazael asked why, Elisha explained that he foresaw the terrible thing Hazael would do to the children of Israel, including killing people, destroying cities, and harming even women and children. And that is the prophecy that was given by God to Prophet Elisha, which he told to Hazael. Now we know that Hazael was shocked and asked how such a thing could happen, given that he was just a servant. Prophet Elisha revealed that God had shown him that Hazael would become king of Syria. Hazael returned to King Ben-Hadad and told him he would recover. However, the next day, Hazael smothered the king with a wet cloth and took his place as king of Syria. So now we ask, how do we know that this prophecy was fulfilled? I will take you, my friends, to that which is written in 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. For there we read, in those days, the Lord began to cut off parts of Israel, and Hazael conquered them in all the territory of Israel. In verse 33, we read, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan. We can also read about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Prophet Elisha in the book of Amos, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. For there we read, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gates bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter from Beth Eden. The people of Syria shall go captive to Kir, says the Lord. We also read about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Prophet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 3, and there we read, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. Don't forget now that Hazael was just a servant to his king. That is before, obviously, he killed him. And now he became the king to fulfill such prophecy. Let's move on to one more location to learn about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Elisha. And that is what is written in the book of 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 7. And there once again we read, "For he left of the army of Jehoahaz only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing," which means there was a great destruction in the land of Israel by the king of Syria. And that shows us why prophet Elisha was distressed, why he was weeping when he saw from the Lord what is to come by the king Hazael. And all that took place simply because the children of Israel had turned their back against God and they were unfaithful to him. And as we know, that is the repeated scene throughout the Old Testament. When the children of Israel sin against God, God disciplines them. God punishes them by their enemies. And that is exactly what the new king, King Hazael, did to the children of Israel as a fulfillment to the prophecy of prophet Elisha. Let's move on to miracle number 16, which is also a fulfillment to a prophecy given by prophet Elisha concerning Israel's defeat of King Hazael of Damascus, which we read about in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. And here is what is written. In verse 14, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." In verse 15, we read, "And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows." And in verse 16, we read, "Then he," that is prophet Elisha, "said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hands." In verse 17, we read, "And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. In verse 19 we read, "And the man of God," that is prophet Elisha, "was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Here is what is significant in that account. From the context, we learn that Elisha was on his deathbed. When King Joash of Israel came to seek his guidance, Elisha instructed Joash to shoot an arrow out of the east window, symbolizing victory over Syria. Then he told the king to strike the ground with the remaining arrows, which symbolized how many victories Israel would have. The result of that is that Joash struck the ground only three times, showing a lack of zeal or understanding. Prophet Elisha was disappointed because Joash's limited action meant Israel would only defeat Syria three times instead of achieving complete victory. If you remember earlier, we talked about the request of prophet Elisha from prophet Elijah. He asked if he will receive double portion of his spirit, that is double portion of his strength. So far, we know from our studies that prophet Elijah performed 7 or some say 8 miracles, depending on if you want to believe that the raven who brought the meat and the bread to Prophet Elijah was a miracle performed by Prophet Elijah or not. I personally do not believe. That's why I believe that Prophet Elijah only performed 7 miracles. Also, as I mentioned to you before, some theologians believe that the killing of the 51 men who came to Prophet Elijah the second time was counted as a separate miracle, which I personally also do not believe in that. So, once again, there were simply 7 miracles. So, depend on how you want to understand these miracles. Are they 2-on-1 or separate one? You will come up with different numbers. In any way, the fact is that when there was need for a miracle, the miracle was performed. And the purpose prophets perform miracles, it is to make sure that people believe that they are true prophets who came from God. And it's not just about performing miracles. For a miracle by itself is not important, but to perform a miracle to lead the people to worship the God of the Bible is the most important reason why God allows His people to perform miracles.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now we're going to read about the death of Prophet Elisha. As it is written in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20. For there we read, then Elisha died, and they buried him, and the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. From our previous study, we learned that Prophet Elijah performed one resurrection miracle, which is the raising of the widow's dead son, which we have read about in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24. And if the request of Prophet Elisha was really given to him, then he is supposed to have double the miracles of Prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah raised one young man from the dead. Prophet Elisha will supposedly raise 2 dead people. But we know that here in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20, that Prophet Elisha died and he was buried. But so far, we only read of him performing one miracle of raising the lady's son, that is the Shunammite woman, after he got sick, as we discovered that in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 17. So where is the double portion of the spirit of Prophet Elijah in Prophet Elisha, if he only performed one miracle of raising that young man from the dead? Oh, that is what we read after the death of Prophet Elisha. Remember I told you earlier when we talked about the raising of the Shunammite woman's son that he did pray there and God answered his prayers and he raised that young man from death back to life. And there I said that that's not a requirement for every prophet to perform a miracle, that he have to pray to God and God will answer his prayer. And the proof of that is the second raising from the dead that great miracle which Prophet Elisha performed, he actually performed without any prayer. Why? Because he's already been dead. And dead prophets do not pray. But the promise which was given to him by Prophet Elijah is fulfilled. That is when he said to him, if you see me when I will be taken from you, then you will receive double portion of my power. And that is exactly what we read in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 21. For there we read, so it was as they were burying a man, these are the children of Israel, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. And this is what we read about by the title Posthumous Miracle. As I read to you, even after his death, that is Prophet Elisha, a miracle occurred when a dead man was revived after touching Elisha's bones. This underscores the enduring power of God that works through Prophet Elisha. And because of that miracle, now we know for sure that Prophet Elisha truly received the double power of Prophet Elijah. Even though we disagree about the exact number of the miracles performed by both of these prophets, you may count the number of the miracles of Prophet Elijah to be 7 and Prophet Elisha to be 14, or the number of the miracles of Prophet Elijah to be 8 and Prophet Elisha to be 16, depending on if you count the double miracles one after another to be 1 or to be 2. But the most important part about our study here is this. When we compare Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, to some real prophets in the Bible, like Prophet Moses or Prophet Elijah or Prophet Elisha, you will realize that the true prophets of God in the Bible performed great miracles. And some of these miracles were an answer for prayers, or a fulfillment to a prophecy given by these prophets, or just simply because there was a promise made between one of these prophets and the other, as we have shared concerning the double portion of the power of Prophet Elisha, of that which was given by God to Prophet Elijah. You may think that Prophet Elijah was trying to find any excuse to stop Prophet Elisha from seeing him when he was taken to heaven, but that was not the case. He is simply leaving that to God. If God will allow Prophet Elisha to see Prophet Elijah ascended to heaven, that difficult request will be fulfilled. And if not, that request will not be fulfilled. But since God allowed Prophet Elisha to see Prophet Elijah taken to heaven by the storm, as he was separated from Prophet Elijah by the chariot of fire, now we know that God answered the desires of Prophet Elisha to receive the double portion of the power of Prophet Elijah. And here I must catch your attention to some important facts about prophets and miracles. As I have shared before, not all the prophets of the Bible performed miracles, but when there was a need for the performing of some miracles, prophet provided that evidence that they are the true messenger of God. And by the way, if you look at all 7 miracles which were performed by Prophet Elijah, you see them consist in just few chapters in the book of 1 Kings, that is chapter 17 and chapter 18. Also in 2 Kings chapter 1 and 2. As for the miracles of Prophet Elisha, they're also in very short number of chapters. That is, beginning in 2 Kings chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 13. As you examine all these chapters, you see it, one miracle after another. And here, we must ask the question. The people in Muhammad's days begged Muhammad to perform a miracle. As you see, that request is written throughout the pages of the Quran. And what was the answer? He did not perform even one miracle. He did not give one prophecy to prove to his people in his days that he is a true messenger of Allah. I mean, how can he be the best of the prophets? the final, the seal of all the prophets, and what we have seen in his life is nothing miraculous. He was just simply a sinful man like anyone else who lived in his days. And we're not making this up, my friends. That is exactly what Allah stated in the Quran, and that is exactly what the scholars of Islam wrote to us. And from his sunnah and his life, we learned that he was just a sinful man. And somehow he received the title of Prophet Muhammad. Sadly, these lies are not only taught by the Muslims in the Muslim world, but we here in the West allow the Muslims to brainwash our own children, the future of America, to believe that Muhammad was a prophet. Open any of the textbooks which we teach all over our high schools and our colleges. Not once you read the name Muhammad, except it was preceded by the title Prophet. And then they added actually the word Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him. We made a very sinful man a great prophet simply because we allowed the deceived Muslims to deceive our future, our children, the youth of America, to accept the repeated lies that Muhammad was a prophet. In our next broadcast, not only I will be talking to you about the miracles of the disciples of Jesus, which they performed throughout the New Testament to prove the truth of the message they were teaching, but I will also be sharing with you why they could not perform any miracles in their own power, but only in the name of Jesus. And through the name of Jesus, they were able to perform even greater miracles than that which our Lord Jesus has performed, as he told them that they will be able to perform greater miracles than that which he himself performed before them. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.